Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. I appreciate the good singing. Songs that say something. And songs that's based upon Scripture. Amen. I'd like to look tonight in Colossians chapter 1 and put in verse 23 of chapter 1 and maybe get into part of chapter 2. There's just so much, I don't know where to cut it off. Now notice what he said in verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that you knew what great conflict I had for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and builded up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'll stop my reading there. Not sure I'll get that far, but I want you to pray that God would speak to your heart tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy to us. We thank you, dear Lord, for what you've done in our lives. And Lord, we're grateful for the grace of God that's been extended to us. And I pray tonight for thy fullness. We pray that you might anoint our feeble lips. And Lord, that you would speak through us, speak to us. And Lord, may this be profitable time. I do pray again that you would bind Satan and his adversaries. Yes. And dear Lord, may you get maximum glory out of all that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I mentioned yesterday morning of the connection between Colossians and Ephesians. I said this, in Ephesians, the church is uppermost. It's the perfect church. In Colossians, Christ is the uppermost. He is the preeminent Christ. In Ephesians, we see the privileges of the body. In Colossians, we see the glories of the head. In Ephesians, we find it's instructive. In Colossians, it's corrective. I see in Ephesians, we see what the body is to the head. In Colossians, we see what the head is to the body. I'm grateful. Hallelujah. I'm grateful that I'm in the body. Amen. But I'm thankful for the head. Now, we've tried to mention the preeminence of Christ, and we reckon the fact in verse 15
of the preeminence of His character. I'm glad that He is preeminent in His character. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He is a mighty God. He is a sovereign God. And He is my God. And He is your God. I'm saying, thank God for the preeminence of Christ. I'm reminded also that He is preeminent in creation. He's the maker. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And we reference that. And then we talked about the preeminence in the church. He's the preeminent one. He's preeminent in conversion. I'm reminded that we are reconciled because He reconciled us to God. Because of the blood that was shed at an old rugged cross, we are reconciled to God. Amen. I want to remind you tonight that that blood has not lost its power. It's literal blood. It's exceptional blood. It's essential blood, and it's effective blood. Thank God for the blood. It's preeminent in conversion, the reconciliation of the saints to God. And then He's preeminent in the resolve. Now, I want you to notice with me two thoughts in verse 23 and verse 25, and then I'll get to the main part. In verse 23, notice with me the last phrase. He said, "Wherefore, I, Paul, am made a minister." Then notice also verse 25. He said, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you and for this reason, to fulfill the word of God." That's why he was made a... And so Paul is describing the significance, the suffering, and the seriousness of the ministry. I'm saying today we've got too many that take the ministry lightly. We've got too many that's been mama called and papa sent. But listen to me. I believe that there must be a call of God before there can be any ministry. But Paul said, "I was made a minister." Now, the ministry, the gospel was what motivated and drove the Apostle Paul. He lived to see people saved. He's so serious about it that he mentions in the book of Romans chapter 9 and verse number 3, he said, "I could wish myself a curse for my brethren, my kinsmen." He's basically saying, "I'd be willing to go to hell if they got saved." He's wishing the impossible because Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owed sin. And so what a revelation of Paul's heart. His heart was on the saving message of Christ. Christ died for sinners. He didn't die for the elect. He died for sinners. He died for every man, woman, boy, and girl. He tasted death for every. He's the preeminent one. He's the only Savior. And notice again, the making of the ministry. The gospel ministry is the greatest work in the world. And I want to say this. Paul held the ministry in high regards. There's too many people who are frivolous about the ministry. I find people today that churches get without a pastor and they're overrun by resumes and recommendations. And we've got a lot of churches today that need a pastor. Some that have pastors need a pastor. Are you listening? I'm saying, hey, I believe that God does the calling. But they're looking for this. They're looking for payday and benefits and retirement. And they're not interested in the preeminent one. I believe God calls men. Amen. And by the way, if God has not called you, you don't have a ministry in a woman. Amen. Everybody all right? I'm saying God is the one who does the calling. I still believe that God does the calling. And by the way, he doesn't call us to start and stop. Right. I appreciate Dr. Hall.
Amen.
And the matter of is just keeping on, keeping on.
Amen.
Praise God. I said to him at the supper meal tonight, I said, you know, sometimes when we get to that age, a little bit older, maybe has some health problems, and the devil wants to browbeat us, said, you're done, you're over with. But I want to remind you that as long as you can breathe in and breathe out, God has something for you to do. And God has used him, and God is using him, and God will use him as he's faithful to the task. It's the call of God. It's God who makes the ministry. Now, by the way, it's not men that makes the ministry. It is God who makes the ministry. And so that little fellow that says, well, if they'd just let me have the pulpit for about 15 minutes, I'd have the people running the aisle and shouting and filling the altar. And he probably can do that. But I'm talking about there's a difference in the matter of a man who just took on the ministry than the man that's called of God and God makes a ministry. Well, let me just say a few things. I've got to hurry up to get where I'm supposed to start. I want to say he talks about the message of the ministry. Thank God we got a message.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you know, I ain't got anything to preach. Praise God. I got a whole book full. You don't run out. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that. He talked about the call to the ministry. He's made a minister. He talks about the charge of the ministry. And verse number 25. He talks about the joy of the ministry in verse number 24. He talked about the malady of the ministry in the last part of 24. He talks about the mystery of the ministry in verse 26. He talks about the method of the ministry in verse number 28. The method is warning and teaching. Warning and teaching. We're not having much warning today. But listen, I remind you that our God is a holy God, the preeminent one, and you're going to stand accountable to Him. And so the methods of them, and then every man, the gospel was given to how many? Every man. In all wisdom. And so it's warning and teaching. And then he talks about the motive of the ministry in verse number 28. But I want you to look back with me, please. I've got two or three main things I'd like to say. Not sure I get one of them said. But he moves from truth revealed. He's the preeminent one. Truth revealed to the experience enjoyed. And so I want to say it's a divinely given order for experience. It's not the test of truth. But truth is the test of experience. And so I see this. It is that he in whom all the fullness dwells is all my fullness as he dwells. Amen. Listen, that day when I got saved, God the Holy Ghost moved in. He didn't come in to visit. He came in to reside. He lives in there. But he also came in to reign in my heart. He does the leading. I do the following. Amen. And by the way, if I do that, if I follow him, he does it in my, he never leads me wrong. He never leads me into error. He leads me in truth. And so I better say that again. He whom all the fullness dwells, in whom all the fullness dwells, is all my fullness as he dwells in me.
Amen.
He dwells in me. And by the way, that is the key to this section of Scripture. And the phrase is given in verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in chapter 2, verse 10, you're complete. And that's that is this, that we are full in him.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And so the experience of the indwelling is the theme for our little thought tonight. The experience of the indwelling. And could I say, it's divided into three different sections or three different parts. I'll mention them in case I run all the way past them. I want to say he talks about in verse chapter 1, verse 24 through 29, he talks about the proclamation of truth. In chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, he talks about the progress of experience. In chapter 2, verse 8 through 15, he talks about the provision of his grace. Now notice with me the proclamation of this truth. Verse 23, being made a minister of the gospel. The minister of the gospel. Verse 25, he's been made a minister of the church. And by the way, there is no conflict in that. He's been made a minister of the gospel and a minister of the church. For if there is a faithful announcement of the good news, then there must also be the diligent caring for those who receive it. Oh, God, help us. I'm saying we ought to be concerned about them getting the truth and helping people when we preach. I want to say God has made us ministers of the gospel. We're ministers of, and so we're conveying the truth, and our goal is to help people.
Amen.
Not to impress people.
Amen.
Not to entertain people.
Amen.
Our goal is to help people. And so when I go to church, I want God to speak to my heart. I can't be helped without the preeminent one ministering to me. And by the way, he delights in doing that. And so I say this, for if we're faithful in our, in the announcement of the good news, then it must also be the diligent caring for those who receive it. I've heard some preachers as mean as junkyard dogs. And I don't care how hard you preach or how straight you preach, as long as you maintain a civil tongue. But I've heard some that's not civil. And there's congregations that's been abused all across this country. I'm saying to you, God's going to hold us accountable for how we conduct the ministry. And so he's a friend of one. Now the Epistle of Colossians is Paul's attempt to do this. And from a distance, he's not in Colossae, he's incarcerated in prison. And so I find there's no better way. You see, he said, let the hearts and minds of converted people be nourished with the wonder of Christ indwelling.
Amen.
Oh yes, He lives in us.
Amen.
And so I'm to be conscious of that.
Amen.
But often we live our lives from sunrise to sunset and give little to no thought that He lives in me.
Amen.
And by the way, when I acknowledge Him, if I'm following His leadership, others will see Christ in me. I say the indwelling fullness of Christ will move us forward from the initial acceptance of Christ to the complete abandonment to the person of Christ. That's why Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's got a burden about getting the gospel. He didn't let the chains hinder him. He didn't let the imprisonment hinder him. He's praying for the believers at Colossae. He hasn't seen them face to face, but he's praying for the believers at Colossae. And by the way, he wants them to know of the fullness of that indwelling Christ.
Amen.
He lives in us. And by the way, I find that the Holy Spirit is accused of a lot of things that He's not guilty of. And may God help us to realize this. The indwelling will help us move forward from the initial acceptance of Christ to the complete abandonment to the person and will of Christ. Not only the person of Christ, but the will of Christ. And so, as he proclaims, what's he doing? He's proclaiming the truth. And that's what churches need to hear. That's what preachers need to preach, is the truth, not your opinion, not your outline, not your illustration, but it's the truth that makes us free. It's the truth that builds Christians. And so I see that as he proclaims this truth, he focuses his attention on three things. And verse 24, let's read it again. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, what did he say? For his body's sake, which is a church. Now, he talks about the suffering entailed. Paul is in prison at Rome. And again, he's in chains and he's the chains are clanging about him with every movement as he dictates this epistle. And yet, he said, I'm going to rejoice because of this suffering. God, are you listening? God has given me a great privilege of providing what is lacking of the afflictions of Christ. Now be careful. The word the afflictions of Christ in the New Testament is never used to describe the atoning death of Christ on the cross. Again, the suffering of Christ for our redemption was unique and it was complete. He bowed his head and said, it is finished. Redemption's plan was complete and fulfilled in the preeminent Christ. I say, though brethren die for brethren, yet there is no blood of any martyr that is poured out for the remission of sin. No, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owed. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Praise God and the Lamb forever. And so I'm saying that Jesus died for us. There's nothing lacking at Calvary. But again, what Paul means is that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ. What's he saying? Suffering goes with serving. Again, many different kinds of suffering. And then again, Paul looked upon suffering with rejoicing in verse 24. He's not saying, nobody's ever been treated like I've been treated. Nobody knows the troubles I've been through. No. He's rejoicing. Hey, because, listen, he's got a message to convey. It's the truth of the gospel. He wants those in Colossae who have professed faith in Christ to be completely yielded to Christ. And so I come back to see, Paul's prayer was for their, was for them, and Paul's prayer was without hypocrisy. It was reality. And then Paul's prayer was backed by suffering. And then Paul's pain was not delightful, but he knew what it meant to help somebody else. Amen. I hear him say in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death. Read the life of David Livingston, Aaron Judson. I give list after list of men who served Christ, but they suffered much, and in their suffering, their desire was to get the gospel to the lost of the world. Amen. Now notice with me secondly, verse 25 through 27. He said, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Given to me what? For you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, here is the secret revealed. Not only does he talk about the suffering that was entailed, But he talks about a secret reveal. From suffering, Paul turns to the ministry. And he has this ministry that's entrusted to him by the Lord. Entrusted to him by the Lord. Could I say this? God did not promise us smooth sailing. But he did promise us safe landing. And the God who knows my load limit graciously limits my load. Are y'all in the building? I'm saying, Paul talks about the suffering and he turns to the ministry. He has this ministry, it's entrusted to him by the Lord. Well, he's in prison. And so there's folk today said, well, if you just get saved, God, if you just follow the Lord, everything be smooth as butter. It was that way for Job for a little while, but the bottom fell out. But I hear Job saying, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm just going to keep on trusting God. And you don't know what's going to transpire between here and the rapture of the church. And so I find this. He goes on to declare the word that he's commissioned to spread. He calls it a mystery in verse number 26. Once hidden, now revealed, open for all saints to see. It is, what is the mystery? It is Christ in you. The secret is revealed. The mystery is unveiled. The truth is made plain. I'm saying the word mystery has no reference to anything mysterious. Mystery is a secret once hidden, but now fully and forever revealed. And so the mystery I don't think I'd be doing any injustice to say I believe that's the same connotation as revelation. Right. I hear people. I hear folks get up and preaching. I like preaching, don't you? Amen. Praise God! I need preaching. Yeah. I get up and I hear them preaching, and they'll lock in on a passage of scripture and begin to read it, and I see something brand new. Yeah. It's been there the whole time. I've read it lots of times, but I didn't see it. I can acknowledge that God might reveal something new to you, but it is not new.
That's right.
Because if it is new, it's not true. I'm saying, but I hear young preachers today said, well, you know, God's still giving new revelation. No. He's given all the revelation that he'll ever give right here in the pages of your King James Bible.
Yeah, man. That's right.
And by the way, the crowd flocks after that. Yep. They like that because they're always looking for something new, something sensational, something different. Right. What you need and what I need is the old, old story. Yeah. Tell me the story again and again and again. I need to hear that story. I don't get tired of that story. Well, I want to say a lot I'd like to say. That mystery, something we did not know or could not know until God, are you listening? God revealed it unto us. I believe that's what happened when you got saved. When you ran to that city of refuge. Hallelujah. I don't believe. Hey, I'm saying you can preach till you're blue in the face. You can hand out tracts until you get weary. But it has to be God that opens our eyes. And God that shows us our need. And the Holy Ghost who does the drawing. And so I'm saying this. Paul's been commissioned to do what? He's been commissioned to proclaim the truth. To proclaim the truth to Colossae. And so making the fact that he who God has revealed unto you has come to abide in you. Yeah, he came to live there. And making that truth present and rich and glorious. In the present sense. But then for the future, the certainty. Christ stooped to Bethlehem stable and to Calvary's cross. And He's condescended to come and dwell in my poor heart.
Amen.
The truth has got to be proclaimed.
Yes.
That's what the message is. And has proclaimed by preaching.
Amen.
By the preaching of the Word of God.
Yes.
Notice verse number 28 and 29. He said, whom we preach. This is who we preach.
Yeah.
Hey, who we preaching? We're preaching about that preeminent one.
Amen.
We're preaching about the altogether lovely one.
Amen.
We're preaching about the great I am.
Yeah.
We're preaching about the Alpha and Omega. We're preaching about God and God only.
Yeah.
He said, whom we preach.
Amen.
We're not giving a book report. Amen.
We're
not showing a slide.
Right.
We're not having a play. We're preaching about Him.
Yeah.
That's the one we're preaching about, the preeminent one. He said, and in the preaching, we're warning every man. Warning how many men? Every man. Warning every man. Warning every man. And in all, and teaching every man. Warning and teaching every man. He mentions that every man at least three times. He talks about whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. How we're doing it? In all wisdom, that we may present every man. Here it is. Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We have no righteousness, but we're clothed in the righteousness of the preeminent one. Verse number 29. Here's what he said. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise God, I'm telling you, I like when He works in me mightily. You said, no, that was just Paul. No, no. God doesn't give Paul something He didn't want me to have. Amen. He works in us mightily. Oh, let's see. The proclamation of this truth involves the constant preaching. I'm telling young, and by the way, I appreciate this Bible conference. And I go to some jubilees and other camp meeting type things, but I like Bible conferences. And I try to encourage younger preachers, if they're considering starting a meeting, consider starting a Bible conference.
Amen.
Listen, it's not to try to compete among preachers. It's not to show off. It's to do what? To convey the truth. To build people. They realize the fullness of God is in me. And He wants to lead me. Well, I don't know it'll get any farther than this point, but notice this. The proclamation of this truth, it involves a constant preaching of the person of the indwelling Christ. I'm saying, Paul said, that's who I preach. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I am saying, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Notice what he said. It's a constant preaching of the person of the indwelling Christ whom we preach. And so in these two verses, we note that Paul is preaching of the indwelling Christ, and there's three characteristics. Notice with me, I'll give you those and I'll stop. It was without respect of persons. Verse 28, notice again. Whom we preach, warning how many men? Every man. And we're teaching every man. And our desire is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm saying it this way. In these two verses, we note that Paul's preaching of the indwelling Christ had three characteristics. It was without respect of persons. I detest people who try to convey the idea that there are three rungs of the ladder above you. And if you don't think they're great, just you don't even have to ask them. They'll tell you. They're great preachers. I say to you, we're this, a zero with a rim rubbed down. We are nothing, but bless the name of God, He is everything. So when they go away, I don't want them to go away talking about a preacher. I want them to go away talking about the preeminent one, the one who suffered all hell for all sinners for all eternity, that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. And so I see this. That was greatly needed. That truth at Colossae, they needed that. And again, three times he refers to every man. Every man. There is no, are you listening? There's no select and there's no secret cliques. It's for every man. For the poor man and for the rich man. For the educated man and the illiterate man. For the white man and the black man. I'm saying it's for every man. And so we'll have nothing to do with spiritual cliques. Amen. It's all about Him. And so what God has given for one, He's given for all. You don't have any special hold on any portion of this book. It's for every man. Every man. Notice secondly. It was without loss of purpose. Notice again, what's the purpose? When we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, and we're teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, that's the goal. His preaching began with an admonition. It was a warning every man. And with a view of their repentance. And this was followed by instructions. And it's teaching every man in all wisdom with view of their development of faith. Amen. You didn't get saved apart from faith. In Colossians 2:6, he said, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And the one who saved you by His grace, and we're saved by grace through faith, it's the very one who develops our faith. He lives in us. And so how does faith grow? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so it's within view of the developing faith. And its goal was the presentation that they may be, that He might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What's He looking for? He's looking for maturity. Amen. We got too many spiritual babies in our independent Baptist churches. I got a little message I preached sometime on the baby's name is carnal. No, I'm going to mention this last thing and I'm going to stop. Verse 29. I think I'm going to stop. Verse 29. The Bible said, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, what's He saying? It was without sparing the preacher. Whatever Paul does now, he must do it sitting still, for he's in prison. How many good servants of God? I got a good, close preacher friend that has had some serious physical problems. And he said this just a day or two ago. He said, I'm afraid I'll never be able to preach again. And by the way, you don't know. And I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, as long as you're on this planet, God has something for you to do.
Amen.
And so come back in. Whatever Paul does, now he must do it sitting still in a prison. Yet there's still a ministry.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
There's still something to do. There's a ministry even there. And in that, he will not spare himself.
Amen.
Mm. I hear him say, I'm willing to become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some, reach some. Now notice, in the energy, it's in the energy of the indwelling Christ who worketh in us mightily.
Amen.
It's in the, you can't do it, I can't do it, but it's in the energy of the indwelling Christ.
Amen.
That we just go another mile, we preach another message, we knock another door, we give another tract, and hey, it's not I. Hey, we're not sufficient, but He is.
Amen.
He indwells us. He, and so I see this. I'm stopping and say, So he will strive by prayer and every other means to those who he has proclaimed his open secret are presented to the Father, and they'll be presented mature in Christ Jesus. He's the preeminent one. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening.